In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. We'll get back to the Soto calls in just a little bit. Whatever else is on your mind on this Tuesday, in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. How about those Knicks last night? You know, it's funny, BT. In the span of two games, you saw both the biggest fears from what the Knicks could be and both the greatest expectations and reason to hope of what they could be last night in Denver, obviously, versus Saturday in Utah. Dude, this team, when they're clicking, that's why you build it the way that they did. The team last year, as much as people love them, they weren't capable of doing what you saw the Knicks do last night in Denver.
I don't disagree with that, and that's why their upside's always been appealing to me. I mean, you know, 45 assists. I mean, I think that's a Knick record, I think I read. They were just fun to watch, and they've been very unselfish, and they've got, you know, a couple of guys who can carry the mail on any given night. OG, it was his turn last night. I guess the only thing that wasn't really great was Bridges didn't bounce back from the fourth quarter benching. Didn't shoot well. 2 of 8 from downtown. 25% there. Not good.
He might turn out to be the X factor for this team.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, do you feel good about it?
No, I'm torn on that.
Yeah, me too. I'm not going to give up on him, but
I still ultimately would lean toward the positive in Bridges. I still believe he's going to get the job done. I like his makeup. I think he's got a good attitude. He's not intense. He's just got like a fun, easygoing, which makes me think that he's not putting too much pressure on himself, and eventually he'll come through. Mm-hmm. If he were struggling, putting too much pressure on himself, then maybe I'd feel the opposite. But I think Bridges will get it going once he starts to really get comfortable. But Towns is a beast. Anunoby has fit perfectly with Brunson and Towns being the lead guys. I mean, you're just seeing the best version of Anunoby that the Knicks have seen, and maybe even ever.
How many times did the Knicks have three other players in the starting five a year ago take more shots than Jalen Brunson?
Probably not often. Yeah,
think all about three. Bridges, OG, and Carl Anthony all took more shots than Jalen Brunson did, who had 17 assists, by the way.
Think about, and that's what I'm saying, like the easy scoring that this team has. Dude, even dating back to the Ewing days, it was hard to get buckets. Back then, it was a different game, but they went through the big fella, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe hit a couple of threes with Starks, whatever it may
Hubert
be.
Hubert Davis.
Yeah, okay, fine. And then they evolved, and Melo still was the guy when they, you know, that iteration
and
of the
Amari,
Nations.
And,
never looked. Okay, whatever. Last year, okay, good. You know, the Randall years, and then with Brunson, it was Brunson being the focal point. But then when Randall went down, even Anunoby, he was not a great second option for the Knicks. Like, he's a player that he's a good player, but he's far better as a third or fourth guy.
Yeah, I would agree with
fitting
that.
Fitting in. Like, he's,
I would agree with
that's
that.
Just his game. And you're seeing him now thrive where he's not the guy. So the defense could focus on Towns or Brunson or even Bridges to a certain extent. Then you have Anunoby. They have legitimate guys that could pop off, even with Hart being minimized.
Mm-hmm.
Remember last year he became a big scorer in the postseason. Because he had to be, and he did the job. But ultimately, you don't want to rely on Hart to score 20-plus points tonight. Dude, Brunson, Towns, Bridges, Anunoby, legitimate. And these guys could score easy 20 to 30 points tonight.
Yeah, but I do think we're lumping Bridges in there a little prematurely. Like, he's not a given yet. I again, I'm I'm optimistic that he's going to figure things out and get that stroke figured out and, you know, play his defense, which, by the way, has not been great this year either, and that's based on statistics like that. That's provable. His defense is taking a little downturn. I don't know, maybe he's in his head with shooting and new guys around him, new responsibility, a little bit of a different defense under Tom Thibodeau compared to what he did with the Nets. I don't know. But what I do know is that the Knicks can run you out of the gym and hang 135 on you without blinking. Like, their offense is tremendous. And most important to me, because this was my only reservation early in the season, it was half about the toughness, which I thought would resolve itself when certain guys got healthy. And last night, you saw McBride, who, when he's not there, is absolutely missed. 28 minutes for him, for Deuce. Campaign, while Deuce was down, Campaign was carving out a nice little role with this team as well. So now you look at the starting five, and you look at McBride and Payne, that's seven. You're going to have, eventually, Mitchell Robinson coming back. That's eight right there. And
you mentioned Achua.
And Achua is nine.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe they make a move for a sniper. Did you see the T-Wolves might trade DiVincenzo?
Yeah, I know. Don't get your hopes up.
I'd be open to it. Yeah. You know, I would be. Yeah. Either way, the Knicks have the depth that you can start to see down the road what they could be.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're now joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Baldy, have the Jets asked for your input yet on who they should hire as the next GM head coach combination?
They have not. I have not. I've sort of, been texting back and forth with certain people, so obviously, Rex is out there campaigning pretty strong for the position. I don't think that would be wrong to bring Rex back. He understands that building and the owner as well as anybody. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, they had some success with Rex there. Who knows?
Don't you think it's kind of embarrassing the way Rex is begging for this job?
Well, I don't think he's, being interviewed or offered or talked about any other place. He's been here before. He took a team to an AFC championship game with a rookie quarterback. He kind of knows how to do it. I think he misses coaching, and it's right in his backyard. So I don't know if it's embarrassing or not. I just think he wants Woody to know that if you're going to conduct a search, maybe you should bring me back in and let me tell you what my plans are.
Yeah, no, and by the way, Baldy, I'm okay with that, but I think there's a time and a place for it. Like, so he's with ESPN. I know some of his colleagues have fairly popular pods, whether it's Shannon or Ryan
right.
Clark. I mean, listen, if you're on a podcast and you're having a couple of drinks and the Jets come up and you start touting yourself, that's one thing. He's going on TV every single day, and he's telling us that be a Jet, I'm a Jet. To me, it's just, and I get it, and I appreciate his enthusiasm. And aside from knowing defense, his second best trait is selling himself, but it just comes across. We've crossed the line of desperation. We get it, Rex.
Well, he got a platform, and nobody else out there that, is a candidate has a platform like that. So he's taking advantage of it. I don't think it's shameless. I don't know how attractive the job is to a lot of people. And I don't know who's out there. I don't know the search committee. I mean, whether it's Tannenbaum or the 33rd team or, whoever's going to try and help Woody out. Or, if it's, the guys, Phil Savage, whoever. Like, I don't know, how attractive it's going to be to maybe some, last year, Jim Harbaugh was out there and he wasn't really campaigning, but everybody knew he wanted to leave. He got himself into a good situation. He's turned a terrible situation around into a really good one. Is it Gruden? Is it Belichick? Obviously, because he's going to be interested in his job just from past history. But, who are the guys out there?
Vrabel?
That could come in here and juice up the fan base and get these guys, because there's a lot of talent in that locker room. Who's out there that could do it right now besides Rex?
Well, what are we looking at with Rodgers, Baldy? We're talking about Brian Baldinger. You want him back? I mean, it sounds like the Jets don't want him back. What would you do if you're the Jets with Aaron Rodgers going into next year?
I think we've seen the age and the coming back from the Achilles. I don't think he's going to look any better next year after this year that he's gone through. Like, he's not going to get any younger. It's a young man's game. And so, I would look elsewhere right now after what I've seen so far this year.
Yeah, I've said the same thing, Baldy. Can you do us a favor? Can you lift up the curtain? Because we say it, But we really, it's hard to substantiate, though there's been some stories this week, but it's just generally assumed that Woody is very hard to work with. And the record backs that up, and the constant shuffling of coaches and GMs, it's been a mess, right? So nobody thinks that Woody's good. But why are the Jets, you know, off the record between, you know, guys you know, played in the NFL, whatever, why is the Jets situation viewed as so unattractive, specifically pertaining to the owner?
Just because, you know, he's had a quick hook and they just haven't had stability. I mean, when was the last time they actually had the coach and the general manager come in together? I mean, Joe Douglas came in when Adam Gase was here and then he had to conduct a coaching search and, you know, Sala. And, I don't know. I think that it's got to – you don't necessarily have to have a coach and a general manager that has a history together. We've seen that work, you know, how that's going over with the Giants next door. But they don't necessarily – but they do have to be in agreement with how to – the vision, how to build a team, you know, how they're going to approach free agency. Like, I think it's got to start with that, with just a commonality between a coach and a general manager to say – the way Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch started together in San Francisco. And, you know, they've been there for 8 years together now. So, I do think it's got to start with that approach.
What do you think, Boldy? You mentioned the Giants. What do you think is going on with there? You want Shane and Dable to be back? You think they, I don't want to say deserve, but would you give them another chance here to try to build this thing in a different way with a different quarterback moving forward?
You know, I mean, that was a horrible performance on Sunday. And, you know, another one of those performances like that, it's going to be hard because, I mean, Tampa Bay took them apart. And there's some weaknesses on that Tampa team that could not be exploited. And, you know, they got a backup left tackle in there. I didn't see anybody beat them all day. Like, they destroyed that defensive line. Baker did whatever he wanted to do. And those two running backs are not great backs, but Rashad White, like, I didn't think, I mean, maybe Malik Nabers might have been strong about it, what he said, but really the tape kind of backed it up, and that's an indictment on both of those guys,
yeah,
that they could not come and play any better than that against a team that had been reeling, really, really bad for the past month.
Yeah, the Bucs had lost four straight games, you know, and bigger picture here, Dable came in with an offensive background, Boldy, as you know, and the Giants' point per game average so far this year is the worst in 25 years, so I guess the question is, you know, if the quarterback play was better, I know that the numbers will look better, but are you sure that Dable's the offensive innovator, genius, whatever he was labeled before he got hired by the Giants? Do you view him that way, or do those concepts look a little stale, a little predictable? What are you seeing on film with what they run?
Well, they had 18 plays in the first half. Not one play went to Malik Nabers. They come out, they're down 23-0 at the half. They come out in the third quarter, and the first three plays are completions to Malik Nabers. Like, why did they have to be down 23-0? Why did they have to wait to the start of the third quarter to feed their best player?
I have a question for you. I agree, but my question would be, and I didn't see the film to this extent, I don't know, was he double and maybe triple teamed when the game was in doubt, and when it was over, they said, let him catch a few from the Bucs perspective? I don't know. Did that change?
No.
Okay.
No. The Bucs are a zone team.
Right.
Like, okay, Jamel Dean's on one side. And, you know, I mean, they know who's out there. I mean, Malik Nabers he's a very good talent. I don't want to throw bouquets at the kid. He's still just a rookie, but he's a really good player. And he showed it to start the third quarter. They've done this before, though, where they don't look like they know how to get their star receiver the ball. And if you're going to try and help out, you know, a quarterback, you know, in his second year here who's young, still young, but you're looking for a spark, you're looking for him to, like, get the ball to your receiver, let him help you out. And to go 18 plays and not get him the ball, I didn't understand that at all.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. What'd you see from DeVito, Baldy? I know he spent too much time on his back. He's actually dealing with a forearm issue I'm reading now, so he's not 100% good to go yet for Thursday's game in Dallas on Thanksgiving. What'd you see from DeVito in that game?
I saw some things that I saw from a year ago. I mean, you know, Vita Vea was collapsing the pocket every time he dropped back. And so he was getting flushed like he did last year. They ran the same stunt that the Saints ran against him for sacks last year. They ran the same stunt. They still don't look like they know how to pick it up. It's not all his fault, but I thought he could have been more accurate when he did get time, get receivers, moving targets. And I saw like an issue there that showed up last year at times.
Hey, Baldy, is Saquon going to win the MVP?
He's my vote right now. Hmm. I mean, I'm pretty close to that team in Philadelphia and the guys there. That performance in L.A. on prime time on a Monday night or Sunday night was about as good as it gets. He's probably going to lead the league in rushing, probably going to lead the league in touches and yards from scrimmage. I thought Christian McCaffrey should have won it last year. It doesn't look like they want to make a running back, but, I mean, that team right now runs the ball 57% of the time. And he's the reason why, because he's just that good. And that's not a bad Ram team that he destroyed the other night.
No.
But that offense line is really good. He's never seen runways like he saw 70 and 72-yard runs. He's doing things that we haven't really seen before. And that's his talent. And so it should be an award that goes to a talented player who's unbelievably productive with a great team. And they've won 7 in a row right now. They're probably the only team that can compete with Detroit in the NFC right now, the way that they're playing, and he's the reason why.
Who's his main competition right now? Josh Allen, number two, or number one, depending upon?
Josh will see San Francisco this week, and he's up there right now. Lamar Jackson had a great game last night.
Yeah, he did.
But he kind of shares the award of Baltimore with Derrick Henry. And then there's Jared Goff, who's got a team with the best record right now.
Okay. Where do you think Daniel Jones ends up, Baldy?
I don't know. I really don't. Is there a reclamation project in San Francisco like they did with Sam Darnold? And he gets, 1 year to kind of learn what stability and game planning and talent around him really looks like, because he doesn't know what that looks like since he's been to the Giants. But we've seen Sam Darnold and Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield all get second chances, and they've all taken advantage of it. So I think somebody's going to reach out to him. I don't know where that's going to be right now.
Yep. Real quick here, Baldy, before I let you go, and I've said it a few times, some people feel it, some people don't. You're obviously of this generation, so you'll see where I'm going. I'm not saying it's going to be the same exact script that he's going to win an MVP, but I see some similarities with Rich Gannon and Daniel Jones. Athletes. Now, Rich, at the age of 37, won the MVP, and Rich, unlike Jones, was bouncing around first couple of years, the Chiefs, the Vikings, one or two other teams, very transient, couldn't stick. But there was intellect, there was toughness, and there was speed, and similar frames, though Jones might be a little bit bigger. Loosely based, are you by that, or is that just wacky?
Well, I don't think it's wacky. I mean, look, Daniel Jones has an issue processing and really getting the ball out on time and knowing what he's looking at. That shows up with whoever's calling the plays and behind whatever offensive line, whoever he's throwing to. Like, he doesn't do that on a consistent basis. Just see the field, process information, and get the ball out. He looks hesitant. Now, that can change if he trusted the system better, if he had better plays around him. Could he throw the ball with better anticipation and see the field better to find the open receiver? Like, that has to improve. Now, whether that happened to Rich Gannon, when he got a chance with the Raiders and Gruden, I'm not sure, but certainly a better proven system and could help him out with better players around him.
Baldy, what do you got going on for Thanksgiving? You doing any of these games?
Yeah, well, I'm doing the post game at the NFL Network for the first two games, and the Cowboys game, obviously, and Giants, and then Detroit, and then the late game. I'm free, so we've got a bunch of family and stuff that I'm heading to.
What kind of spread are we looking at? NFL Network going to hook you up, or you're hosting a big spread for the night game? What are we looking at?
My girlfriend's family is taking care of all that.
Nice.
I don't really pay too much attention, but I know that there's going to be enough food left over for me when I get to the house.
Yeah, big dog starts barking. You better have that second plate waiting for him.
I love it.
No, so there's always two. It's my favorite holiday of the year. We got food and football and family. Like, it really never gets any better than that.
It's pretty awesome.
Thank you, Baldy. We appreciate it. Enjoy the holiday.
Thanks, Bri.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. You bet.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
He's got to put a dent in that turkey.
He goes, my girlfriend's taking care of that. I'll show up. The food's going to be there. I don't worry about that. Yeah, yeah. We got to get on the Baldy plan, BT.
He's working that day. He's working. This is supposed to come home and cook, too. He's working.
I mean, sometimes in my house it goes that way. I mean,
really?
My wife always reminds me. She said, you said it didn't matter if I could cook or not before we got married.
Ooh.
I said, you're right. But would it kill you to heat something up for me?
You're screaming about the lack of meatballs last week that you told me about. That was hysterical. It's funny. I don't cook often. When I do it, I really enjoy it.
Really?
Yeah. I put on put on some music, a little Billy Joel.
Well,
was it?
A little apron? You put on an apron to cook?
No, I put it on an apron. I'll put on maybe some Simon and Garfunkel, something nice. Okay. You know, a little Billy, a little 70s, 80s Billy.
Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend. Is that Simon and Garfunkel?
That's one of them.
Okay,
that's one of the popular ones. I'm talking some off-the-radar ones that I really love. Okay. But, no, that's a great one, no doubt. And a little glass of vino, and I'll lean into it. Like, I enjoy cutting the stuff up and sausage. Oh, yeah.
I got no interest.
Sausage, really? To me, it's therapeutic.
I can't wait to go to my mother's house Thursday because she's my mother, my sister, do all the cooking.
Don't get me wrong. My mom is 10 million times. My mom's the best cook in the world. Right. I mean, that's my opinion. I know a lot of people think that about their moms. Right. I absolutely believe that. And, I mean, I can't shine her shoes with that, but... She's actually on a cruise. She's in Germany with my dad for Thanksgiving.
Okay,
they
good
took
for
a
them.
Little, you know, check some boxes while they still can, God willing.
And
so
now you get
we're
fending
for
Dallas.
Ourselves here. Yeah. Oh, you know, the doubt my father-in-law makes too.
Okay.
The conventional one, and then he sticks it in the, what is that? The oil, but what do they call that? The deep fry.
Oh, deep fry.
Yeah, we got two going.
I wouldn't mess with that myself.
Oh, that's good.
All right, BT and Sal on the field.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come back, we'll jam it up the A-gap when we return.
It's time for BT and Sal to jam it up the A-gap.
Hi, BT. Well, findings from week 12 in Jam It Up the A-Gap. And for me, there are a bunch of different things. Number one, I'm going to start with what Baldy just talked about. I don't know if you know this, but I was on the, well, I shouldn't say on the verge of hitting a perfect parlay, but I had my first two going into the Sunday night game, and I stupidly, whatever you want to say, went against the Eagles again. Rams are good, and I think they're tough, but the Eagles just showed to be, I mean, they're a dominant team, and they do it with the guys in the trenches up front, creating those holes for Barkley. This is not just about Saquon Barkley. It's about the Eagles. The main reason why I didn't think they were going to be as good this year was because they lost Jason Kelce, a Hall of Fame center, and I'm thinking, you lose him.
I wish he still played, so I wouldn't have to see him on TV every night.
Yeah, I know. That's a whole nother side note.
Please, unretire.
Don't worry. The Jason Kelce show coming to us soon after Christmas or whatever it may be. Yeah. Anyway, so I thought losing him, that was going to be difficult to replace. And meanwhile, the Eagles get the job done. Their offensive line, you could argue, even better without him. So I was wrong about the Eagles this year. They have been tough. They have been good. I still don't believe in Sirianni or them long term.
Okay.
But that was a big win for them, beating up on the Rams on Sunday night.
Well, one, I'll give you Miami. Miami's back. I mean, Miami's won three straight games, and you start to look at, all right, well, because we were doing this for the Jets, like idiots, like, oh, where are they in the AFC? Oh, they're up to ninth place. They're in eighth place right now. So there's obviously seven playoff teams, but you take into account the three wins that they have. They're playing the Jets twice down the stretch, and they're playing the Cleveland Browns as well. Now, you know, the Browns just beat the Steelers with Jameis Winston in the snow, so I'm not saying that they're a complete pushover, but by the time they play the Jets, who knows where the Jets' heads are, and even if they're focused on football, they still stink. So I think there's a really good chance, and I didn't love Miami coming in. I thought they would be okay. I wasn't over the top with them, but if they've got five wins now, you know, they're going to beat the Jets a couple times, seven. They're going to get to at least nine wins, and I think if they get a little lucky, they could possibly get to 10.
I also had Miami on my list, so I'm not going to double down and just say everything you did. I was higher on them coming into the year. I picked them to beat the Patriots in cover, which they did. Look at their schedule. So they got the Packers Thursday night in Green Bay. What do you think?
I'd like to see the weather. I think it should be a close game.
It's going to be cold, I heard.
Yeah, I think they got a chance to win. I think they got a chance. What's the spread? 3.5? It's got to be tight.
If they win that game, then as you said, Miami home against the Jets, win. On the road in Houston against the Texans.
Texans are not that good. They're just not.
Home
against, Miami's going to win that game.
Home against the Niners.
Who knows which Niner team
but
shows
still,
up. Very winnable.
On the road in Cleveland, cold weather, December 29th, but still.
Winnable.
And then at the Jets.
The Jets.
I mean, those are.
So I'm saying there's some wins to be had.
Yeah, I think Miami can be a play. Exactly. They're doing exactly what we had hoped the Jets could do. That's what the Dolphins seem to be doing. That was number two for me. You have something else?
I do. I got a little something on the Ravens from last night. I mean, let's face it. Lamar is, you know, I don't know if this is fair, and I love Lamar. Is he kind of like, you'll appreciate this because you saw it. Is he like the Dominique Wilkins of the NFL? Like, he just puts up these crazy numbers, and, you know, he just hasn't won. I will say he hasn't won yet. I will say that I think that the Ravens supporting cast is better than what Dominique Wilkins had in Atlanta. I know it's not apples to apples, but the Ravens are very well coached, and Fratello was a good coach too, but I just think the Ravens were a better franchise than the Hawks were back then. So, I don't know, just giving you something to think about. But last night was impressive because there was some unspoken and some spoken pressure on Lamar. All right, it's almost December, primetime game, Chargers playing great, one of the best defenses in the NFL, the LA Chargers. And it's like he came out and was playing downhill from the jump, and the Chargers didn't have it. The Chargers jumped on them 10-0. So for him to come back and get in the end zone and score 30 points and bag a very impressive road win, I'm not going to make some bold, you know, proclamation that it's definitely Lamar's year, but I thought that was one that, you know, can slowly convert some of those dissenting voices that he just doesn't have it. And some people don't think that he has it.
When I watched Lamar Jackson play football, and I was thinking of this last night, I said it to myself, he is the best football player that I have ever seen. I wouldn't say quarterback.
That's football player.
Yeah, or you want to say offensive? Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm not going to say best quarterback.
Better than Marshall Faulk for 2, 3, 4 years?
Walter Payton? Yeah, because he's like the Ohtani of football in some ways, where he can be a quarterback and throw the football. Now, is he Tom Brady or Peyton Manning throwing it? No, but he could do it at a high level. Look at the MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he runs the football and plays the game. Dude, he's as fast a player. He's physical. Like, I just watch him and I say, this guy is a hell of a football player. And maybe the best way to say it is the best offensive football player I've ever seen.
Better than Jerry Rice?
Jerry Rice. All right, Jerry Rice is great. I'm not trying to minimize his greatness, but all he did was run routes and catch a ball. Like, he was fast and he could catch. Lamar Jackson can play quarterback at a very high level. And he is elite at running the football.
He's a great runner.
I mean, football.
Who's the second? Let me ask you, who's the best? Who's the other dual threats that we throw into the conversation?
You know, it's funny,
Steve Young for a couple years when he was healthy?
Yeah. Put it this way. I've never watched a football player and thought, that's the best football player I've ever seen. I've watched quarterbacks and said, that's the best quarterback I've ever seen.
I know what you're saying.
That's the best wide receiver.
Yeah,
guy's a great running back.
Yeah.
But when I just watch him play football, I'm like, good God.
Interesting.
You know?
Interesting. It's very interesting. Okay, it was
a good conversation.
That.
Anyway, my last one was the Chiefs. There's a couple. You could throw in Denver, and I think Denver should get a bouquet here. I mean, not that they beat the Raiders, but the way that they've been playing, 7-5 with Bo Nix, they deserve at least a mention here in Jamming Up the A-Gap.
Uh-huh.
But the Chiefs, dude, I mean, come on. They barely beat the Panthers. You want to give the Panthers credit for being tougher than maybe we thought? I think it's more about Kansas City, who, even though they have the pedigree, all-time great head coach, all-time great quarterback, 10-1, that has to be the softest, weakest 10-1 I have ever seen.
Oh, really?
Dude, they barely beat the Panthers. They choked up a lead. They had an 8-point lead. Panthers come down. They score. They get the 2-point conversion. Like, how did they even let that happen? This was the one game Kansas City should have covered. And if you think, Sal, you're mad because you picked them or you bet on them, I didn't because I don't trust them. But that's still frustrating to watch a team that is that good with that pedigree. I don't care where the game was being played, to struggle on the road to beat the Panthers, to give up that lead and barely come back and beat them. I mean, that to me was... the Chiefs are going nowhere this year.
I don't disagree with that. I don't love them. I picked the Bills to beat them a couple of weeks back. They've been vulnerable. We've referenced their plus minus. It was never, you know, even with their mark. Like, when they were 9-0, I'm like, why do you have the ninth best point differential? It's odd. You know, I would just throw this in very quickly here. Geno is that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Geno Smith, right now they're leading the division. Geno is... thrown some weird interceptions this year, but you know, he's going to go for about probably 3,800 yards. He continues to win. And, you know, unlike others who, you know, didn't really quite meet expectations, Geno wasn't a first round pick. Geno was a second round pick. So when you look at Geno's career in totality, it's actually quite impressive. It really is.
Geno's done a good job. Good football player.
Yeah.
Done a nice job turning himself into a starting quarterback in the league. And the Seahawks playing well. All right, Hoff, what do you got here before we take a break?
All right, so Aaron Rodgers is on Pat McAfee, and they were asking him about all these rumors about his future and stuff like that. And he said, first off, I don't know if I want to play next year, but first choice would be the Jets if I did. And then he went to say that also the Jets would want to have him as well. So there's a big conversation there. So those are the three highlights so far of Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Good job on that, Hoff. Boy, appreciate it.
Yeah, so instead of the rumors and reports, you get it right from the horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know if he wants to play next year. We've heard this before. My gut would tell me he does. He's not going to want to go out like this.
I would agree.
But that could be impacted by what the Jets' decision is on him. But he also said he wants to play for the Jets. Well, we heard that wasn't going to be the case. So already some of those reports have been debunked because from Rodgers' mouth says his first choice would be with the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, it's also a PR element here. Like, I think he wants to play next year so he could get some decent numbers up on the board and just kind of finish with more.
He ain't going out like that. Come on, man.
I don't think he is, Sal.
He could have retired 2 years ago. He didn't want to. He loves playing the game. He wants to play.
Yeah, I think he's also smart enough to know because he is a master manipulator with this stuff. He needs to know before committing one way or the other who comes in to coach the Jets. He's probably saying to himself, if it's an older guy like a Gruden or like a Belichick, even though Bill's not going there, but in his mind, like, yeah, I got a chance to hang around if it's an older coach who wants to start winning right away. If it's, you know, a younger coordinator, he's probably not looking to roll it back with me. So I think he's keeping every door open. And it does sound grounded in enough humility for me where it doesn't annoy me, because I'm kind of at the point, no matter what he says, I feel like I could get, it could be inflamed and I could just get annoyed, even if it's benign. But, you know, provided that Hoff gave an accurate encapsulation, and I'm sure he did, of what Rodgers just said, then I guess I appreciate him being as transparent as he could possibly be, but... You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think the Jets would be making a big mistake letting him go. Again, we got to see what happens, but I would want to keep him.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Jason is in North Bergen, New Jersey. What's up, Jason?
Jay, what's going on, buddy?
BT, love the show.
Thanks, Jay.
Listen to Otis. I listen to Odyssey at night because I don't listen to anybody else.
There you go.
So if I miss your show, I listen to you guys on Odyssey. Love
we
it.
Appreciate that very much, Jason. Thank you.
So, BT, love you. I just wanted to call you out.
Okay.
Yeah. Pause. I just wanted to call you out.
Gosh.
Early during the Yamamoto moments.
Yamamoto!
You ragged on Sal. You ragged on Mets fans. Once he's in pinstripes, he ain't leaving. Oh, this and that. All Yankee fans all season. He's not leaving. Mm-hmm. How's he going to leave Judge? Now it's, if he leaves, it's 50-50. Maybe he leaves. Like, I just wanted to call you out. I love you.
Well, that's, you know, I love you too, man. It's all good. I mean, I'm sure other people share that opinion. They think it's a deflection.
Interesting, Jason. There you have it. The theme of the show has been Juan Soto. In case you missed anything, check out on the free Odyssey app, although the last hour or so, we've been talking a little bit more football, whether it be Baldy or whether it be jamming up the A-gap, having some fun with that. Definitely tomorrow, football heavy, BT, as we got.
Yeah.
We got to do the power rankings tomorrow. We'll have Nick Costos on tomorrow. What else do we have?
Little 3RQ tomorrow.
Oh, the perfect parlay
little pick baseball,
segment.
The basketball card game tomorrow. We got a lot of stuff to jam in, right?
You want to do basketball? You want to do...
Well, I guess we did basketball the other day. I thought you wanted to do it.
Yeah,
remember, it's your turn.
I definitely want to do... Oh, yeah, I see what you
remember?
Said. Definitely want to do the pull your card game. I just don't know which packs yet. But yeah, we can do a little basketball. Anyway, a lot of fun before the Thanksgiving holiday. And we set away for a couple of days here before returning together Monday at 10 a.m. Let's finish up on the phones. 888-808-1019. Junior is calling from Jersey City. What's up, Junior?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Long time, first time.
Thank you. What's up? What's on your mind, Junior?
I want to say that Mahomes is better than Lamar.
I don't think anybody's saying that he's not. I think it was just what Sal, I don't want to speak for Sal, but it was more the combination of run and pass.
Yeah, Mahomes is better.
At what?
Have fun and happy holidays.
You too, buddy.
And thank you for the call, Junior. Yeah, I mean, Mahomes is a better quarterback, sure. But Mahomes does not run the football anywhere near the level of Lamar Jackson. So now you, and I don't think you could say that Lamar doesn't throw the football anywhere near the level of Mahomes. Like, he's not as good, clearly, as Patrick Mahomes. So Lamar has to prove himself in the postseason. But when I think football player, tough, physical, fast, can throw the football as well. Like, I said this before, Lamar Jackson is, is it equivalent to what Ohtani does? Probably not, but that type of player where he's a bit of a unicorn, where you can run, be as skilled, as fast, as quick. Dude, his moves, like his juke moves, spin moves, like Lamar Jackson is elite video game skill set if you were to grade him 10, 10, 10, 10. And like what, throwing it, he's maybe a 7? While Mahomes is a 10, and then the other category is a little bit less. Like, I'm not trying to minimize Patrick Mahomes. I certainly wouldn't say that. I didn't say best quarterback. I just said football player. Lace him up, put the pads on, go out there and play football. I'll take Lamar Jackson over anybody in the NFL offensively.
I would not. I would take Josh Allen over Lamar. I would take...
You take Josh over Mahomes?
Yeah, I think at this point I might.
Yeah.
I really might. I might. I mean, Mahomes, it's funny. I'm looking at his numbers now. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't
missing
anything.
Mahomes this year?
Not just Mahomes this year, but really the story that's unfolding. I mean, when you go back to the 2022 season, 41 touchdowns. All right, that's a massive amount. We remember how he burst on the scene when he threw 50 touchdowns in 2018. Another big season, 2020, 38. And then he had 37 the next year. Last year, 27 touchdowns, 14 picks. All right, they won differently, and they won, so that's all that mattered. But here we are this year, 18 touchdowns, 11 picks. Like, that electricity is gone. And I don't know that it's gone permanently, but I think that we all thought that Mahomes was going to fling 40 touchdowns forever. He's changing.
Who's the best pure quarterback you've ever seen?
Okay, let's break it down.
You go back a little bit before I do. Like, I can't speak enough to Elway, Marino, Montana. I mean, I know what they've done. I know a little bit. But, like, all right, let's just forget about that you've ever seen them. Let's just go from, like, you know, mid-90s on or whatever, or 2000 on. You're talking about 25 years.
The best arm that I've ever seen is Marino and Elway.
Okay.
Best arm.
Fair enough.
Best head will be Peyton.
Yeah.
Brady. Maybe Rodgers.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So we're in the same.
Yeah. In terms of ball placement, I think Rodgers is right there. I think that's where Montana enters the equation. In terms of pure physical tools, Elway's there. Josh Allen's there.
So we got those guys. I'm not going to disagree with that. Like I've always said, Peyton Manning was the best pure quarterback, meaning, like you said, the mindset, reading the defense, where to throw the ball. Obviously, he was accurate as well. Did he have the arm strength? No. Brady, great arm strength, great winner. Obviously, that has no mobility.
Mm-hmm.
Fiery leader. The other guys, Marino, Elway, Montana, we know their greatness. Mahomes, sure, on that next level. Rodgers, I would think, was the first combination of elite arm talent combined with quickness, mobility, mind.
You're missing somebody.
Who?
Steve Young.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Steve Young was great. Sure, I think Rodgers was the best maybe combination of all of those guys at his peak. But as far as just the best football player of those bunches, I think Lamar Jackson. I take Lamar. He could do more with them. If you were playing, and I know the game is not played like this, and maybe this is even crazy to say, but if you were playing like schoolyard football, 5-on-5 or 3-on-3. Like Lamar Jackson was
you. Yeah, but so Steve Young would be in that conversation too. I think Steve could run.
And maybe Steve Young a better thrower of the football than Lamar.
But, definitely.
And he also had Jerry Rice he was throwing to. But again, Lamar Steve Young was a very good runner as well, but not like Lamar Jackson. Michael Vick had great skill running the football and had a big arm, but he was never a great quarterback.
He did have a big arm.
Huge
he
arm.
Did.
They just never used him right. Yeah. Whatever. And he didn't put the work in. Like, that's all known by now. When you look at Lamar Jackson, dude, I just see a football player.
Yeah,
I don't
I'm not pushing back.
Yeah.
He's tremendous. I do need to see him get over the barrier.
He's got to do it in the postseason.
Because think about this. What's the knock on Rodgers? He only has one. Like, the guys who had none until they finally cracked through. That's their narrative. And then when you only have one, all right, well, these other guys have 2, 3, 4, whether it's a Bradshaw, whether it's some of the other guys that we know historically. Like, you got to keep, whether it's right or wrong, fair or unfair, Lamar's eventually got to win. So does Josh Allen.
At the very least, he's got to get to a Super Bowl. That would be the first step. Dylan is on Long Island. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, Sal. Saw you guys talking some Rangers. Love to hear hockey on the show. Just wanted to see like what your points were about kind of the core. And obviously, like they really need a shakeup because to go through three coaches with the same core and expect it to be on a coach's problem to me just makes no sense. I saw Boomer talking about the coaching this morning. But personally, I think it has to do with this core of players is just straight out soft. Even today, they have an optional practice, and they have 7 guys show up, and it's the young guys that are continuing to produce and be hungry for this team. So how do they fix this is my question, to you.
I think it's – and thank you for the call, Dylan. We did mention that earlier in case you missed it. Check it out on the free Odyssey app. I'm not pretending to be a hockey expert, but you just get a certain feel. At least I get this feel, and I felt this way after last year where they fell short again. They need to change it up. You just can't run it back with the same group, the same core. I'd hate the idea of losing Kreider. I'm less torn on losing Zibanejad. Like, he was a great Ranger. Time to move on. He's done nothing this year. Even Panarin, who I like. I'm just tired, BT, of seeing this group. True, but you name them. They haven't gotten it done. And the formula is not sustainable where there are too many shots on Shesterkin. They're relying on the great goaltender again. We saw this fail with Lundqvist. You can't do it again.
Yep.
So for me, it's just time to break up the core.
Do we have anybody that we're targeting here? Like, who is viable? If we want to get rid of a few guys, who's the... Maybe Hoff knows. Hoff, if the Rangers make something... Not putting you on the spot with this. If you don't know, it's not a big deal. But if the Rangers, then it seems like you're not alone. I'm starting to hear this a lot. I'm starting to see it on social media. The core, obviously, there was a thought that they might do it coming into the season, like during the summer, before they brought some guys back. If the Rangers do make a big move, is there somebody that you think would fit? Like, we can't just get rid of 3 or 4 really good players and bring nobody in. Who's the target?
I mean, there's no rumors right now. That's the problem.
I don't know, though, BT, if it's about a specific person or two as opposed to just a change in philosophy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired. I love the idea of, well, we got Lundqvist, let's take a chance, because, you know, hot goaltending is going to win the Stanley Cup in the postseason. It failed with Lundqvist. And now they're trying to do the same thing again where they're, like, you just saw it happen with the Panthers.
The Panthers aren't, like, they're good, but it's not like there's some unbeatable, high-skilled team with the all-world goaltender. They have a very good goaltender, and they have a team of tough guys up front. And it's not just about tough guys, but tough. The Rangers need a better balance of toughness and skill.
Skill.
And they have lacked that over the years. They've had some great skill, but they've lacked toughness. They've had some toughness, but then they've lacked skill. They need to find a better balance. Here's the best thing I think you could say. I trust Chris Drury to figure it out.
Hoff just said he's got a name. Go ahead.
I do have one. We were talking about him last year, and it kind of with the Florida Panthers. Brady Tkachuk. That's Tkachuk's brother over in the Panthers, whatever it is. So, yeah.
That's just the guy
like, yeah, but is this like the Frank Stallone of brothers?
No.
Like,
no. He had a good song, Frank Stallone. Remember that? This is the end. Bam, bam,
I want Rocky.
I don't want Frank.
Dude, so far in 21 games, he's got 23 points. He's 11 goals, 12 assists. He's a physical force, too. So, he's the same type of player.
That's the type. And maybe they elevate, like, and maybe giving Kako a little more point. I don't have all the answers.
Well, that's the guy that I want to see.
Yeah, have more.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's the thing. They elevate him a little bit. I don't have all the answers. I just know you get that feel when that's it for this iteration of the team. And I felt that when they couldn't beat the Panthers, this group has had a couple of runs at it now. When they couldn't get over the hump against the Panthers last year, for me, that was, okay, it's time to change.
By the way, are we buying the Devils here? I mean, Devils off to a good start.
Yeah, I mean
I know that they're going to score some goals, and Hughes is sick. And
they got
speed. Are they for real?
They got great speed, so they may not have the goaltending the Rangers do, but their speed is elite.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Islanders, like, they've been losing these
blue games. The Islanders are under 500
at this point, right? They could be a playoff team.
I'm sure. I know. Philly's not good. Columbus stinks. Who else?
I mean, I haven't been locked into it
Pittsburgh
the way that you
stinks.
Want to be yet, but look, all these teams should make the playoffs. Rangers still should make the playoffs. It's just a matter of...
If the Rangers don't make the playoffs, it is one of the most colossal implosions.
Well, right.
They're going to make the playoffs.
But depending on what type of moves are made here, if they change this core, are they stripping it down or are they just trying to change things?
So I don't know how you justify stripping it down. I understand sometimes you strip it down because you have to do that to take a step forward. There's got to be a move where you can maybe change some of the core and keep this thing going. You guys almost won the cup a year ago, which I think
is the balance that Drew's going to have to strike, and hopefully he will. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff as well. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning. Big show. Football Wednesday ahead of Thanksgiving, 10 a.m. We'll see you then. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.